Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Guild Mateys, your favorite podcast, where we are about to face the big bad. It's your favorite podcast. Well, it's your second favorite podcast, with the GM's name is Brennan. Anyway, we are...
We really haven't talked about the similarities between that, but yeah. You're my favorite, Brennan.
Thank you.
Just so you know.
Do we have a lot of similarities with Dimension 20?
Yeah,
no, just the fact that our
DM's
name is Brennan.
Yeah, two Brennans.
That's basically it.
And now we've talked about it.
Yeah, both Irish. I mean, you can't
really
tell.
Run the gambit, so that's all. That's all. All
right, sounds good.
It's full high quality TTRPG content.
Yeah,
but
oh yeah, super high. Like, yeah, we're just as high quality as them for sure. Yes.
You all are in bed on the island. Deep in your dreams, well, Arthur's having nightmares, but deep in.
Tentacles, don't, no grab.
Kinky.
Oh, no. Anyway, deep in your dreams, you can hear the distant whispering of the Vodachi Fate Witches. It does not sound like they've gotten on to you quite yet, but... they can sense your presence. You can sense their presence. And they're going to be coming for you eventually. You do have some time. By the way the voices are whispering, they're not agitated or whispering quickly enough to really give you the sense that they're going to be on their way. But whenever somebody messes with the inner workings of fate, it typically tends to tip off their proverbial spidey senses. You all toss and turn in the evening until you wake up, each of you in a cold sweat, to a full moon at dawn. Dab! Okay.
Good one!
Ah!
Oh! 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 Love the reference.
Okay. I believe when it was last settled, each of you had different tasks preparing for the BBEG. They were going to don some disguises and such. So you all wake up and convene at your agreed upon point, and time to get those disguises ready. Just as a reminder, Q and Giuseppo were going to recruit some local leadership, convince them to get on their side. Arthur was going to recruit an army, and Sinead and the crew were going to gather supplies.
So yeah, there's two parts to what Arthur wants to do. So the first part is train any new recruits and like form an actual like capable military unit. The second thing, honestly, the thing I'll probably do first is go investigate the palace grounds and like scout the city, so that we know what we're up against when we actually start our invasion. So there's two parts to that. But I want
all right.
To...
So, get rolling.
You want to say what he's gonna roll?
No, get rolling as in like discuss the disguises, get the disguises.
So this is like early morning, we're all gathered around like the center campfire or something, or
yeah.
Like we're just okay.
Giuseppe Chad's chin dimples looking extra dimply. He's got his hair combed back. He's just happy to have hair again.
Arthur starts the day after waking up just, like, sitting in front of, like, the smoldering campfire, and he just kind of looks a bit distracted to start the day.
Arthur, are you okay? You look a bit of a... Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, Giuseppe, yeah, I'm fine. I thought I had a list. And he reaches into his jacket pocket and he pulls out a list that, like, is just has a bunch of, like, random things written on it. And, like, a really, like, unreadable script. And he starts looking down items. Right, okay. Scouting. New recruits. Making camp. Okay. Right. All right. Giuseppe, I know what I'm going to do today. What are you doing? What did we settle on? You're helping Captain Shanae?
I'm helping a Q, right? And we thought it was best I practice my diplomatic skills. Q being more of the pilot, me being the co-pilot. Whatever that means.
Right, right. Okay. I need to go do some things in the city. So, I'll see you later, I guess.
Make sure you grab a disguise. Maybe ask some of the Vodachian pirates for some of their apparel.
Oh, right. I guess that would be a good idea. I do look a bit dodgy.
Just kind of, well, you know, we're probably wanted criminals, which is nothing new for you three, I'm sure, but, well, for you... Well, for one of you, at least. And he looks at Sinead.
Right. I'm not gonna lie, I totally missed what you just said. I was looking at my advantage point stuff.
He said that you're probably all wanted criminals. We're all wanted criminals, and it's nothing new for you three. And then he looks at Arthur the knight and Q the nobleman, and then looks at Sinead the pirate, and is like, well, one of you is probably used to this.
Well, you don't have the most spotless record either, so I'd keep your mouth shut.
That's fair enough.
It will be on the backs of criminals that we put you on the crown anyway, so... Or on the throne, with the crown, anyway. Sorry, what were we talking about?
You were going into the city. I was leaving with Q. Sinead, what were you going to do?
I guess gather weapons, supplies, materials, whatever, for whatever we need to do. And I think I'd be able to find someone who could get us ready for that.
The Giuseppe like looks real sad for a second, probably remembering Cinzo, and he's like, he nods. He says, by the way, is anybody else nervous? We're going to be in the biggest battle of our lives without a doctor.
It occurs to me that I haven't done a very good job describing kind of what a battle like this would be like. It's kind of dawning on me that I'm the only person here that's really been in an actual, like, war, like a siege of a city and stuff like that. It is somewhat concerning in the way that war does not really provide much time for doctors in the moment. If you get injured during battle, I don't really know that there's going to be an opportunity with all the chaos going on to really heal any wounds. So we really only get one shot, and battle, anybody can really die. In a war like this, there's too much going on to have a real line of triage with our resources. So,
my goodness. I didn't know this was the invasion of Normandy. That hasn't happened yet. Cut that part out.
Is there Normandy here in this world?
There is Normandy, but it has not been invaded
by the Allies.
It's not spelled
the same. It's spelled with an IE instead of a Y.
Well, you know, in Essen or whatever, there's the great Normandy invasion of a century ago. We all are familiar with this thing that canonically happened in Seventh Sea land, and not, it may just bear resemblance to something that might have happened in Europe.
Amelia never changed. Okay, Giuseppe says...
Okay, then, Q, what kind of disguises should we put on? We have all manner of Vodachian clothing back on the ship. What should we do?
Well, I mean, we should probably just go for something low-key, like something upper middle class, so we can talk to the people we need to talk to, but without, like, looking like peasants. Just maybe something with, like, a hood or a hat to cover our face.
Most excellent. I bet I can find just that. Well, come with me. Let's get to moving.
Yep.
All right. So, Arthur goes off to the ship to get in disguise, and I guess are you going to take a rowboat to the shore?
So what Arthur's going to do is, instead of dressing like a Verdachian noble, he is going to dress down, actually, take off his nice jacket, take off his hat. He's going to throw on like a really rough, like, basically shawl and pass as like a street urchin, as like somebody that is poor on the streets. So that he can slip in and out of kind of dingy spaces easily. And since he's already insane and kind of babbles anyway, it won't really look that different and out of place.
Smart.
And then I think he'll just take a rowboat to shore. Actually, I think he's going to be indirect about it. I think he's going to rowboat to an island that gets regular ferry traffic and then get on the ferry that goes to mainland Vodachi.
Excellent. And are you, Q, would you like to go with Arthur, or do you want to go directly there? Or how do you plan on landing?
Arthur's planning on like kind of landing, you know, making sure somewhere a little out of the way and secluded, right?
Yeah.
I'll probably go with Arthur then, and then like, you know, split up immediately upon hitting shore.
All right, you got it. So the three of you, get ready for that. Captain Sinead, the rest of your crew is, you know, making camp. Your player characters are have just left the Lady Morgan in their disguises on a rowboat to row to an island, hop onto a ferry. The crew is yours. You said you would like to gather supplies. How would you go about doing that? What kind of supplies are you talking about?
So I totally just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, I'm a little spacey today. But yeah, I think I'll probably take a second rowboat over to the shore and look for some like weapons merchants and just like, I don't know, military surplus store or something, I guess.
So the way this is going to work, each of you are going to get two raises, or not two raises, two risks if you're able to do this. Fail them and you get caught, and we got to start the boss fight early, succeed them to various levels, and you get whatever. So Arthur, yours will be scouting out the area and then recruiting volunteers. Sinead, choose which types of supplies that you would like. So just choosing from the skills list. You got weaponry, you got sailing, you got warfare, whatever you want. Choose two of those. And Q, you are going to have enough time to build relationships with two nobles. Mm-hmm. All right. Sweet. So let's start with the first round. And then that will, as usual, whenever we all do a simultaneous roll, the highest number of raises will go first. So, Arthur, for scouting, I'm going to say you will be using wits plus notice to scout out the facility. Don't forget to add all bonuses related. Q, it's going to be panache plus convince to convince the first noble. And Sinead, of all the skills, which one would you like to use first?
Did you give me a trait to roll with?
I'm leaving up to you, so you can do weaponry and find weapons, warfare and find like big weapons or trainees.
Right, those are skills. So what about like?
Trait? Sorry. Yes. Traits. My bad. I'm gonna say that's wits, because it's your ability to find things and scrap. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I also have my advantage point that I was looking at earlier. Mm-hmm. Spend a hero point to locate a fixer, information broker, black market, or similar underworld figure. So I think
big brain.
I think a fixer would be fixer or black market would fit under this requirement.
Do you have a hero point to spend?
Yeah, I have three.
All right, there you go.
So do I even have to roll for that?
You will not get caught because you're going to be dealing with someone who's doing this illegal anyway, so you can't fail it and start initiate combat. And also, I'm going to say, because you found someone who deals with this kind of stuff, add an extra die on top of your rolls.
Got it. So wits plus whatever I choose, whichever one I choose. Okay, so I will do weaponry, I guess. And you said plus one dice?
Yep, and then plus the first time rolled weaponry.
Got it.
Quick question. Table talk. Rob, you activated your virtue, which turns all your rolls into raises. Have you used that yet?
I have not, because that was after, like, that was at the end of last session. So I was actually going to ask, like, do I still roll and just add the numbers up? Or is it just however many dice I would roll, that's how many raises I get?
Just how many dice you would roll. That's how many raises.
Okay, so then I get 5 raises then.
Okay, sweet. All right, guys, the way this is going to work. 0, you get caught and start combat. 1, you find nothing. Then you find better stuff on the sliding scale up from 1. So we got 5 from Arthur. I feel like he might be going first. Amelia?
I got 3.
All right.
I'm still adding. Give me a second. I'm still adding. I also got 5.
Okay. Roll just a raw 10. Sinead and Arthur.
7.
And 8.
Ooh.
All right. So in order, it's going to be Sinead, then Arthur. Thank you. All right, Sinead, you rode onto shore. Do you take anybody with you?
Yeah, I try to find Enrique. I don't know where he is, but I'm going to ask him if he wants to come with me.
Enrique is busy stoking the fire. He says, "Hi, Captain."
So not busy.
occupied stoking the fire.
I walk over to him. So, have you thought any more about what we talked about last night?
I've decided to go with you. It's the right thing to do.
Alright, well, I'm about to go on a trip for supplies, so if you'd like to come with me, I'm about to row ashore.
He says, when you say supplies, are we talking the pointy kind, perhaps of the steel variety?
Yes.
My favorite kind of supply.
Good.
What do you disguise him in?
I think we'll probably just go as both, not peasants, but like lower class, I guess. I don't know. Sinead doesn't have the fanciest clothes to begin with, so.
True.
Just do what I can to make me not look what I normally look like.
All right. So you arrive on shore. A little bit away from the... I'm not going to make you roll to get there on time, or to get there where you're going, because you have direction sense. Of course, with Arthur and Q, they're taking a ferry there, so they're not the one steering. But with you, you also get to bypass it because of your skill with the ship. You end up just a few leagues away from the nearest dock on one of the many islands of Fantasy Venice, and you see the usual manner of shops and merchants and establishments, back alleys and pubs and breweries, etc., that accompany the beginning of the city right at the front of the dock.
Yeah, so the way, I don't know if you're about to move on to someone else, but the way I kind of see this going in my head is probably Sinead has probably been on, like, to this port with a crew that isn't her current crew, just on another ship that she was on in the past, and she has probably followed someone doing a similar trip, like looking for weapons or supplies or whatever, and so she would think to go back to the same person.
I would imagine so. I would say that most people who chose the background of pirate would have spent time buying weapons in a port.
Yeah.
So Enrique says, "All right, Sinead, I'm not too familiar with the underworld, but we're going to have to figure out where to go, you know?
Yeah, perhaps there's a back alley over there." Yeah. Don't hurt yourself, Enrique. I know exactly where to go.
He looks pleased, but also like, huh. He follows you around. There's these two big buildings one says like swords and other things, and the other one says deadly weaponry, and there's this thin alley right between them that's paved with cobblestones. There's no light, which is weird because it's like daytime, it's like the morning, and you crawl through, you know, and he's like, I gotta say, this is not the easiest place to go. Isn't there like a stairway, or
are you chickening out on me?
No, I'm not
No, I am not chickening out on you.
And he just stands up straight and like, and the, standing up straight causes him to like be able to fit down just fine. You get to the end of the alleyway, and there's a little spot between all these buildings. It's just like a bridge that goes to nowhere over one of the canals of the city. And it's pretty invisible from anywhere. There's not enough light in the alleyway to see it, so you're completely secluded unless you're on top of a building looking down. Where you are, there is a shady-looking figure completely encompassed in a cloak with a couple of chests on either side of them. They're just sitting down cross-legged on the wood of this bridge structure. On either side of them, you can see two large gentlemen for Dachi Brute Squad to guard the chest. The person says,
"Ah, Sinead Temple, it's been the summer time, but I can hear the gait of your step quite well. You've come back for some dangerous weapons, I believe."
"I sure have. I also just missed your company while I was gone."
"Most people have. I wonder if it has something to do with being a broker of death."
She lifts back her hood. You can see that she looks the same as when you left her. She is in her mid-50s. She is still, her eyes are still milked over. She's still blind. And she still has the same face tattoo going up her neck and around her eye. The tattoo is of a dragon going with the mouth like eating the eye, and then she's got various weapons tattooed around her neck and down her arms of daggers and rapiers, etc.
Never gets old. The sight of that face.
So you're being awfully kind today, buttering me up perhaps. Would you like a discount?
I can't just miss you after all this time.
such youthful charm. The kind of thing I've missed around here. There's not been as much levity around here, I think is the word. It's been rather boring. Lots of people being all serious. I don't know. I don't pay attention to politics, but it's too much politics.
Well, me and a few friends are looking to change that.
Her eyes widen and she like leans back and she says,
"Oh my goodness, we're taking over the government, aren't we? Are we staging a coup?"
All right, keep your voice down. Keep your voice down. But
shout
you didn't
it
hear
from the
it
rooftops.
From me, but maybe.
Your friend from Castile, smells Castilian, and what exactly is he doing here?
He is just he's not used to the outings quite like this one, the dark and shadowy one. So I'm just showing him the way. Don't mind him; he's harmless, I assure you.
What is your name?
Enrique.
Huh. Yes. Very, very.
I was going to say Catholic name, but very Church of the Prophet's name. As she looks around nervously at the camera.
So what would you like? What were we thinking?
Well, we need things to supply a small army, which I know is a big ask of you, but it's very much needed, as I'm sure you can tell. We need to change things up around here.
A small army? Well, I have some other chests around, but what it is in here should do. It's typical variety, mostly rapiers and cutlasses. Is there anything else specific that you would like?
Table talk. Is there anything specific that we would like?
I assume you guys had this conversation before you left, so yeah.
So
yeah.
The easiest...
Can we just say that Sinead gets all of the typical stuff?
Yeah, I rolled for weaponry, so that's okay. What I'm getting right
now. And you got 5 raises, which is huge. The amount you need for like the full deal. So you would get
She says, "Oh, most excellent, and we have a deal if
you buy enough." We just didn't answer, like, what weapons. Like, what do you want? The usual.
I'm sure we discussed more, like, the sharp ones. You know, like, I want 10 of these, I want 20 of these, ones. I want 30 of these,
so,
you know.
So this, let me just say what Arthur, like, probably would have recommended, is that guns are going to be the hardest to teach people how to use, so we go with, like, swords or spears, any shields.
Yeah. Wait, Q wants a gun.
Arthur also wants a gun, so pick up two pistols.
Yeah. I feel like it would be just very in tune with 7C, though, to just be like, we buy weaponry and we just kind of assume we have the stuff, and then, like, if we want something weird, maybe then we roll for it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I think we'll need exactly three guns.
Three guns and a shit ton of swords.
We can throw a gun at Giuseppe. We're at the end of the season. He can have a gun, too.
Four guns?
Four guns.
I'll tell you what.
One of them must be smaller than the other three, though.
I'll tell you
though.
What. She says,
it turns out we have a deal. If you buy three guns and three guns, 20 scimitars, 30 cutlasses, 40 rapiers, a handful of spears, and over 3 shields, you get a free gun and a barrel of whiskey.
That's a good deal. I think I'll take you up on that. Buy some things, get a gun free. Yes.
It's funny. I'm not actually from Dutch, and I came from Texas. So then she just basically, she opens up the chests, rummages around to make sure it's all there. And then after taking a few seconds to feel around in there, says,
Brutus, please get inventory chest number 3 as well as number 4, a keg of our whiskey, and 4 of our pistols, please.
Brutus nods, and he comes back and he returns with 2 more chests and a barrel of whiskey and 4 guns.
Perfect.
They're actually a matching set. Look at the beautiful ornate carvings on them. I carved them myself, and each one is like inlaid. They're gorgeous. You know, they don't look like they're too special in terms of functionality, but beautifully hand carved wood, everything. I never got around to naming them.
We have matching friendship guns.
Yeah, friendship, friend. So it's up to you.
You think I wouldn't notice the beautiful details you always include in our in your weaponry here? You know why I come back to you? It's because of things like this. The little details. The little amounts of love that you put into each weapon.
She blushes furiously, and then you hear a gunshot rings out, and a bird falls off of your shoulder. Sinead, and you notice that she shot
she
from
knows
the hip.
There's a bird on her shoulder.
Yeah, was there a bird on my shoulder?
There was now.
Is that my pet crow?
Not your pet crow. The crow's back on the island.
It was a pigeon.
The bird was like just about to land on your shoulder. And
not today.
And she shot it from inside, from under her cloak, like she wasn't holding the gun, and it falls off, and she goes,
I figured you might be hungry.
I look over at Enrique. How does he feel about that?
Enrique looks very hungry.
We're a little bit peckish, I guess. If you want to, you got a recommendation?
Yeah, absolutely. Those things cook beautifully. I'm sure your Castilian friend knows all about how to cook a roasted pigeon.
Enrique picks it up happily.
All right. We're set there.
Never mind. It's a game. This is a fun game. We're having fun. We don't need to think about the it's fine.
There is no science in 7th
C. We got the whiskey to dip it in. It'll be all fine.
Were you about to ask how much meat is there on, like, a parrot?
That might have been shot at point blank range, like at like right next to with the pistol. Yeah, but we're playing a fun game. We're having fun, so I don't need to ask questions.
I'll tell you what. She got the bullet to just barely graze the tip of it.
So
the air around the bullet was enough to kill the bird and crush its brain. So the lead never touched the bird. The meat's fine. There's like 3 chicken nuggets worth of meat on this thing.
Mm. Got it. So I got a 60. I got a 20-piece McNugget meal from him.
Okay. So you leave with a 20-piece McNugget, a barrel of whiskey, 4 guns, and a shit ton of weapons.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Hey!
Alright, you guys.
Let's go.
Both of you guys get a hero point for saying braining that. That was good. Speaking of both of you guys, you get off the ferry together, and you are kind of in the B port next to the main Vodace, the main Venetian shipping centers. You are both disguised. And you split up. Arthur, we're following you first.
Right, so Arthur lands. I imagine that Arthur and Q fist bump. yeah, right. And then we just split. We don't even talk. It's just silent fist bump, different directions. Arthur is like gone immediately down an alley, hood up. It's honestly probably surprising how quickly he looks homeless after stepping off the ferry. I think the first thing he's kind of doing is, like, as he's, you know, walking through the narrow streets and alleys of Vodace, he just, like, starts giving, like, the barest amount of information to anybody that is, like, destitute or, like, desperate. So I imagine does he know any Vodacian at this point, like, from his exposure on the ship, or is it still just Abel?
It's pretty broken. Like, it's the equivalent of spending about... That's a good 1700s equivalent. It's like he spent like 3 months on Duolingo, is about how much you'd know.
Yeah, that's a great 1700s.
Right. No. well, I'm sorry, okay, so Arthur's maybe, I guess we could resolve it with like a roll. So basically, what I want to communicate in Vodacian to anybody that looks like relatively able bodied and desperate enough to join an army. So like any poor like 18-year-old man, anybody that's like looking willing to fight.
Got it.
So what he wants to communicate is this.
So we'll just, how about this? Before we begin, I'll tell you what to roll. And I'm gonna say
I already rolled the 5 raises though for whatever that was.
Oh, this is for recruit. That was for scouting. Is this for recruiting?
Okay, sure. Yeah, we can do it like that. Well, I'll want the 5 for scouting. So we'll roll separately for recruiting.
Okay,
cool. We'll just remember that I've got 5 in the bank.
You do. So same thing as last time. Get a 0, you get caught. you talk like an undercover guard or something. You get a 1, nothing happens, and you get more and more people. I'm gonna say you get 10. Vodacian soldiers for every 1 raise you want to spend, more than 1.
Okay, so what am I rolling again?
That's going to be panache plus convince to recruit people to your cause.
Awesome. Okay, so that's 7 dies. I'm going to be rolling 7 die. Okay, so Arthur got 2 raises. He rolled pretty bad. His Vodacian is lacking.
Alright, so you get 10 people, and the typical speech you give them is?
So what he tries to communicate is, like, Prince Giuseppe's returned, we're recruiting an army, head to the island of Chisea if you'd like to join. I think part of the difficulty is that anytime that Arthur, like, goes into a dark alley, he, like, sees some sort, like, some nightmare or, like, uncomfortable memory for, like, a flash of a second, and so he's constantly, like, trying to, like, remain focused while he's talking with these people. And so he's just, like, having a really hard time, like, getting it out. I don't know how to speak Italian or Vodacian, so I don't know really how to roleplay it other than he's just, like... So he just... Anyway, so Giuseppe was... back and right, so head to Jusea if you want to like join our army. I gotta go, and then like just kind of moves on. So it's like a very like mixed battle of like whether or not they even understood what I was saying.
It's
Chiesa. Well, that's part of the problem is he doesn't know how to pronounce anything either.
It's like I imagine you like go up to people and you're just like, you want to die with me? Go
for
to
noble cause.
church in this ocean.
It's like an Inglourious Bastards where he's like, it was Brad Pitt's trying to speak Italian. Chiesa. Chiesa. but they got the message.
Buongiorno.
So of an available 40 people, you recruit 10 who aren't scared away by a rambling homeless madman asking them to die for them at a church.
Are we sure we want these guys?
Hey, man. The dice say we do.
Have the crew showed any interest in, like, fighting? Or, like, being a part of the cause? Like, yeah, how absolutely. Many of them do we have? We just kind of have had, like, a...
Well, over the course of the... You started out with, like, 40, I'd say. But then, like, 10 died because of the whale. And then a couple more from other fights, scraps, diseases. I don't know. There's 20 people plus the play characters plus the named NPCs enough to... Crew Lady Morgan.
Can I argue for 25?
The name NPCs that we now have, like, two of? Three of?
Well, I was thinking there's, like, five play characters plus named NPCs that is 25.
Well, I think we should do a base of 25 and then add the things on top.
Okay, yeah. So you have 25 NPCs.
So about 30.
And then, so you have 30 people.
We can just round that up to 50 if we wanted to.
You guys have 3,000. So you have... 30 people, including all NPCs, all named NPCs, and everybody on the crew. 30 of you guys.
So now we have 40. We have these extra 10.
Correct. All cool. Homeless Verdachins.
God.
Excellent.
Hey,
anyway.
I mean, that's
they've been disenfranchised by the system. They'll fight against it.
They're angry. They're angry.
Exactly. Arthur knows how to pick them.
Okay. We now queue. It's your first role. All of the people you can try and recruit. You have enough time to fully woo two people. Who would you like to go after first?
Do I have any contacts here in Vodachi?
I would say you do, for sure. How many of them you remember after your amnesia? Probably not many of them, so I'll make you roll for it. Give me a wits plus, I don't know, intelligence? What is this? Notice.
Can it be perform? I never roll perform. Can we see how well my long-term memory is performing?
Fine.
If you can have a better one, I'm fine to roll it. I didn't think that would work.
Don't.
I mean, for a memory check, you could probably just do wits plus scholarship. Or empathy if it's like remembering somebody close to you.
Empathy would make the most sense if you'd rather do empathy.
Okay, I'll do empathy. And...
like, would Q care enough about this person to remember them?
That's a good point.
Q cares about everyone.
So if you get a zero, you think you remember somebody and it's the wrong person. It's actually like a guard and you set off the final boss battle. You can spend one raise to not know anyone. You can spend a second raise to be able to find someone that you remember. Anything more than that, you can bank for later.
So it's one, two, that's three raises.
Okay. So you do remember somebody. And I'll let you spend the third one to say who you want to remember, or I'll decide. So do you want to remember a baker, a merchant, a wine merchant, a farmer, guard, priest, witch?
Ooh. I feel like getting a witch, if we could get a witch to defect, that'd be dope.
I will say, getting a witch to defect will be much higher on the raises to get that to work. You do have five.
Okay.
You do have five to spend on it, of course. But you could also bank some of those for your next person to recruit.
Nah, I'm going to spend them all right now.
Okay.
if I need to spend them all. I'm full of hubris. I would like to try and get the witch.
Okay, so you exhaust every single one of your raises coming into this pursuit to find your old friend of a Dachshund witch whose name is,
Celeste.
Celeste. Thank you. Anyway, Celeste is where, you would typically find her, which is...
I'm going to go to... I'm just gonna go to the very high-end bookstore. that I know she likes to hang around. Maybe she works there or something. Maybe she deals in expensive artifacts or something, or her husband does or something like that.
Gotcha. You find Celeste in the usual, and she's piling books away, and she sees you, and she looks really closely, and you actually look pretty much like you, because you're no longer half dead. So she says,
"My goodness, is that a cue? It's been so much of a time.
It has been so long. Come here, Celeste." And I do the little kiss on the both cheeks.
She blushes furiously. And she says,
"No, what are you doing in the bookstore? You know, it's ironic that I'm here. Canonically, witches are not allowed to read."
Yeah, you know, that is wild. I guess, you know, it's a good thing your husband runs this bookstore and you just operate out of it and probably don't secretly read the books ever.
No, that would make way too much sense. You know, I don't know much about fate.
She, like, looks at the camera. Okay.
So, anyways, I just wanted to get your, you know, your opinion on some things that are going on around town, you know?
Well, there's not too much going on. We're finally about to overthrow the old establishment and make a witch coven that controls all of Adachi and then all of the money and all of the trade, so we can take over the entire world by controlling the wealth and material goods of the entire world of Thea.
Okay, but like, just wondering, is that what you really want?
Unlimited power! Yes! You know,
unlimited power comes with unlimited responsibility.
What are you and my mother?
No, I'm just saying, like, I mean, you know, I know I've known you for a while now, and I'm sure you've done well for yourself among the fate witches, but, you know, replacing one oligarchy with another, as soon as they get into power, what assurances do you have that you get to keep any of that?
Well, I help them get it.
And is Regina usually very charitable to the people she no longer has a use for?
I'm surprised that you know about the Regina. That's the news that travels fast, I suppose.
Oh, well, you know, I know a little bit about everything.
Oh, which reminds me, before we go further, I'm terribly sorry to hear about your home country. I've heard it's been turned into some socialist utopia.
Yeah, you know, it actually really isn't bad. We have a lot of maker spaces in the public libraries now, so it's pretty sweet.
Oh, that's quite rad. But, your family, were they among the ones that were killed in the revolution?
Oh, did you hear anything about my family in the revolution?
Yeah, I heard that they left.
Like, did you hear where they went?
No. To be honest, if anybody knew where they had went, then they probably would be a lot less safe.
Yeah, that's true. You know, they should just be dead for a year. That's what I did.
What?
You know, fake my own death for a year. Like, you know, you go into hiding and people think you're dead and that you died. Anyway.
So you faked the death. You didn't actually die.
It's really not important, like, the details. We don't need to talk about me. I just want to talk about you and your future. I mean, like, what if we had a future Rodachi where, you know, you wouldn't have to pretend you don't know how to read? What if we put more power in the people so that way, you know, you don't have to worry about dealing with the trade negotiations of some faraway country you don't care about? And, like, the problem with once you get in power, once you, like, seize power through a coup, you're just going to spend all of your time making sure other people don't try and, like, kill you for the power. And, of course, once you displace people, then you have to deal with the refugee crisis, and then you have to deal with, you know, all of these people moving around, and it's such a headache. And it's like, I mean, if that's what you want, you know, go ahead, and I hope that you keep something nice for me. But, like, personally, you know, there's a reason why I've never gone into, like, the more overt leadership roles, is because that's not really the best place to be, you know?
She thinks over it for a minute, and she goes,
I think you have a point. There's only one question. Since when is QLA so interested in giving the power to the people? Is this a new thing?
This is a very new thing. I've turned over a new leaf. We've had a lot of growth. It turns out, being charitable, it's like a very good look on me, so we're doing that now.
When did you change your mind?
I had we'll call it the near-death experience, and it really put things into perspective. Also, seeing my entire country on fire, I was like, oh, maybe that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Because, so the other thing is, if you take control and you don't, like, and they don't fix all of this shit, all of these people, they're just going to get mad and burn all your shit, too. And then it's like, okay, now we're here and we don't have anything nice because it's all burnt, you know? Like, there's a lot of tapestries we're not getting back.
I will say it. Okay.
Well, right.
Do you want me to join you in some sort of pursuit, or we can leave the country, or what do you want to do?
Look, I know you're, like, on the inside, and I don't want to put you in danger by making you, like, snoop around for information that you don't want to do, unless you wanted to do that, then that would be, like, really cool. But all I'm saying is, if things go down, you may notice the tide turning against the other witches. And if you could just help push that along, help weave just a little strand of fate in our favor, we will remember that and compensate you on the other side.
Well, you have yourself a deal. You have yourself a witch in your pocket. I just got one thing to say. Seeing QLA be such a person of the people, I would have thought I'd have as much of a chance of seeing that as dating the ocean. And she, like, chuckles to herself.
Yeah. Yes, and also, like, just in case it wasn't clear, like, maybe don't go around spreading word that I'm in town or anything, because, like, some people are looking for me.
Not that doing such would go against my investment.
You're right. Giuseppe's like, man, this diplomacy thing is awesome. Okay, so...
Yeah, that's good, Giuseppe. You're handling the next one.
Oh, God. What a mess. And good thing you didn't, like, save any raises for him to mooch off of or anything.
Make him work. Oh, make him work for his own kingdom. God damn it.
He could do something. Bold of you to act like I don't still have my Giuseppe point.
A what?
Behind every successful Italian prince, there is a they-them doing all the work.
There's no such thing as a Giuseppe point.
No, Brennan, I swear to fucking God. I swear to God.
I have an Enrique point, bitch. Pretending like you don't give out weird points willy-nilly.
There is nothing in the rule book about an Enrique
point. You can't gaslight us like this.
You literally can't gaslight. I'm impossible to gaslight because even if I'm wrong, I am so strong in my convictions. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm spending this Giuseppe point.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular, like, story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do. And then we're going to have a podcast, postmortem, wrap up, whatever. So, as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to, like, go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So yeah, that's what we're gonna do, which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So yeah, I don't know, that's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that, but we'll get there, we'll catch up. And yeah, next week's gonna be the very last story episode, season 4 finale, and then I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are gonna happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy, and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're gonna try to squeeze them in eventually. We're gonna try to squeeze them in quick, but if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah, that's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
We're back with Sinead. What else do you want? You now have weapons.
Can I roll again for more stuff?
Yes. I wouldn't say more weapons, because you already have enough of one of all of your men. You can.
Yeah, but what'll a warfare roll get me?
Warfare will get you, like, cannons, maybe some uniform.
Do we need that? Do we need cannons?
Rob, what is this?
What's up, Rob?
You're not here.
Hi, Rob.
What is it?
Food and camp supplies would be... Hi. Food and camp supplies would probably be the next most important thing.
Yeah.
We just recruited a bunch of homeless people, so we need, like... We need, like,
can we get them some socks?
Yeah, like uniforms,
right,
and food.
Military surplus, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to go to
roll warfare for that?
Yeah, okay, go roll warfare.
No, I probably shouldn't because I have zero in warfare. Hold on, let me see.
There's not a whole lot else you can roll.
Yeah, I'm looking, there's really not anything.
You can do sailing if you want to pick up some sailing equipment.
Well, why do we need to roll to buy food? We just have money. Is that not enough?
We're trying, so she's doing the it's to find it, because she's doing the back alley stuff, so she doesn't risk another Castile situation and getting thrown into jail.
Okay. Well, that'd probably just be
like...
This
time I have a Castilian on my side, so yeah. I've learned my lesson.
That still feels like a wits plus, like, notice, like just a perception. Like, do you know where
you can.
Yeah, I'll do that. Let's do that.
Wits plus notice? I gotta know what you're looking for is the thing.
To notice where the food and supplies are, the food and shelter is.
Okay,
I'll take it.
Is there fucking Goodwill around here?
Okay, wits plus notice.
Yeah, where's the Aldi?
I think I bumped up the notice last time I leveled up. So
nice.
3, and that's another 3. Oh my god.
All right, okay. So as usual, you don't have to spend a raise to avoid getting caught, because you're doing the back alley thing, so you just get better stuff with each raise. If you can get 5 again, then I'll let you get another cute little awesome thing, like the guns. Or if you get 4, you just get maximum stuff and no specials.
I got 4.
All right, so you don't get, like, golden apples or anything, but you do have
100%. Can I craft them in my crafting table?
Yeah.
Golden apples?
Yes, you can. So, sick gamer reference. So you have a guy up your sleeve, you know him. His name is Master Quarter, and... He deals things out of the army surplus store at, like, a discount price, as he's embezzling the stuff. So you meet him out in the back alley behind. He's like,
"Hey, Sinead the Temple, I've gotta say, you look up pretty good."
Yeah, I've had a good few years, I'd say.
Yeah, I gotta tell you about it. Who's the friend? The skinnier one?
He's just my shadow for today. He won't hurt you, I promise. He's all bark, no bite, but barely any bark to even go with that. So he's fine. You can ignore him.
He says, I'll be the judge of that. And he takes a throwing knife and he throws it, and then Enrique, like, catches it. And he says,
not too of a bad, but you've given yourself away. It seems you've been taking up a crew of marvelous combat skill. You must be doing something rather nefarious. I want in. How much is it going to cost me in inventory that I stole from my bosses?
I kind of look at Enrique to see if I would make the same conclusion looking at him for the first time, and I just kind of shrug. I say, yeah, we are cooking up something a little nefarious, to put it in your own words, and I'll need a little bit of your help if you're willing to help us.
A little bit of my help? What can I get for you? I got supplies, I've got army, I've got surplus, I've got army a surplus, I've got a surplus of the army.
I've already got my pointy stabby things down, so I don't need any of that, but just to keep some soldiers alive for a small army, somewhere between 20 and 30, 30 and 40, I don't remember how many we got.
You got 40, but you don't know how many Arthur collected.
Right.
You can assume, how many would you think, on a scale of 1 to 4, how well do you think Arthur did?
I would probably go for 50 just to be safe.
Okay, so you're under the assumption that Arthur got 20 new people, that's onto your crew. So he's like,
what do you want to know? I've got enough for about 50 soldiers right here. We got the boots, we got the socks, we got the mess kits, I don't know.
Citrus would be great.
Citrus, yes. Gotta prevent the scurvy.
Do they have those little camping mugs that you can put a carabiner on to your bag?
Yes, they're camping mugs. We've got some glow sticks and some headlamps as well. Some pocket knives.
That's all perfect. I'll take all of it. I could count on you.
Of course. And he hands you 50 Eisen army knives. They've all got, like, corkscrews for opening bottles. He says,
all right, I'll have my boys help carry this to your ship. By the way, what kind of ship are you sailing nowadays? I gotta know.
I've got myself a pretty little ship, if I do say so myself.
Oh, most excellent. Is she docked at the main docks, or perhaps the seaport?
She's in hiding right now. I don't want to give myself away.
Ah, good old Sinead.
Once this is all over, I'll let you have a little look-see.
Ah, that is the kind of Sinead that I like to hear.
So he gives you everything you need, assuming you spend all 4 points on it. And you now have enough supplies for a 50-person army.
All right, I take it all back. Whatever men he helps me move it.
All right. We're moving to Arthur.
Yeah. So the next thing on the docket for Arthur is he needs to move to the palace, and he needs to stay undetected and try to scout out the palace grounds, take notes of, like, guard positions and stuff like that, try to figure out where where Loriana and the big bad is, I forgot.
Regina.
Regina George, right. So he needs to find, like, where they're located, where they're holding up. Right. So he's moving through, like, the edge of the city towards the palace. And I imagine the palace is quite a ways away from, like, the outer, ports.
It is. Question, what did you do with the 10 homeless people?
Right. I gave them directions to get to Chisea. Am I saying that right, Chisea? I told them.
Chiesa.
I, like, told them, like, which ferries to take, and then where the rowboat was and how to, like, pilot it back. So, I imagine they'll just be, like, waiting by that rowboat, or they'll find a way to get to that island. But they know where it is. I've given them instructions to, like.
Got it.
I can, like, point that out. Like, so I knew the name of the island.
So. They Google maps the way to Chess, and you are alone in the city approaching the palace. You walk through the many cobblestone streets of Fantasy Venice, and all the beauty that witch-run Laurentia has for you, which isn't an excessive amount of beauty, but, you know, it's there. After a mile or two up the road, you reach the palace.
Okay. So, I think this would be a good time maybe to describe, kind of in a more concrete way, what Arthur's working with upstairs. After looking into the in-between, Arthur's mind quite literally shattered. So, if you imagine that, like, memories and seeing things is like looking at a painting behind a sheet of glass, and what appears behind there, like, changes with what your mind focuses on, right? Arthur lives in a world of shattered mirrors, and everywhere he looks around him is a different piece of shattered glass that reflects some nightmare or memory or feeling, and so he is constantly in a whir, getting distracted by different things. But when he's focused on something that he knows how to do in, like, a really core way, like stealth through the woods, or fighting, or, like, things to do with, like, combat and warfare and being a knight, he can usually focus and get himself right. But he has a really hard time just fucking walking around this spooky, swampy city with all this gothic architecture, and he is just constantly kind of freaked out. Until he gets to the palace and he's able to, like, disassociate more fully and get back into, like, being a knight mode. So the first thing he's going to do is try to find some sort of higher vantage point to, like, try to get a better aerial view of the palace. So if there's anything tall nearby, he'd like to try to climb it.
There's a couple of, medium-sized buildings, that kind of thing. The tallest thing around, you have the option of a tree, a beautiful tree that's in the beginning of the courtyard that seems to have grown for some time. And there's also a very tall abandoned guards tower that looks like it hasn't been used in some time to look over the city.
Yeah, he's going to go for the guards tower.
Got it. You walk up to the guards tower, you open the door, it goes... It kind of sounds like Derwinnan gargling.
That's
to
what
be
I was
honest.
Gonna say. This door sounds a little like Derwinnan.
Arthur hears how bad it's squeaking and it's just like fucking hell and just shoves it open. So just get it over with.
Doors open. There's a staircase spiral.
Okay, so he starts climbing up the staircase. All right, don't look down. Don't look down. It's okay. It's okay. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's in the shadows. It's okay. Just go up the stairs.
You reach the top of the staircase. You have 5 raises to spend on this scouting. So whatever kind of detail, whatever you want to know about it, I will tell you.
So Arthur first wants to know what the, like, entrances to the palace are. Like, what would be the best entrance to get an army through?
So there's 3 main entrances. There's the front doors, which are heavy and kind of conspicuous, although they do have the most room. They're double doors, so you can fit twice as many people through at once. There's some doors. There's also east and west doors. There are no back doors. The doors that are east and west, the ones to the east, look like they're typically used for the merchants to go after, come in and out, people coming in to bring food, to cater to the feasts, that kind of stuff. And then the west doors are for military stuff. So that's where there's a garrison, etc.
Okay. So Arthur wants to look at the west doors. If it's the military garrison, he wants to get a rough estimate of the amount of guards that are kind of in the palace grounds at any one time.
So what you can tell after looking up, spending some time up there, the amount of guards that go in and go out, it looks like they're changing every about hour or so. From your you know, Vodachin guards' practices are anywhere near the same as those in Avalon, it should be garrisoned about 30 men.
30 men at the palace, huh? Arthur kind of gets the impression, if it's only 30 soldiers in the garrison for the palace of Vodachi, that the Vodachin military must be must be like spread pretty thin around Thea, or just, you know, like the lands of Greater Vodachi. So it's relatively little.
The witches also probably believe they can take care of themselves, but it's nice to have guns.
That's true. Speaking of which, does Arthur see any like witchy type women going in and out of the palace?
No.
Okay. Arthur would like to descend the tower and try to like infiltrate the palace grounds a bit, like hop the fence to the extent that there's like an outward boundary. He doesn't want to get into like the building itself necessarily, but he wants to get into the grounds and like sneak around the like trees and shrubbery, like around the windows and stuff, and see what he can see inside.
Really close, and then the guardsman steps up and says,
"Well, state of your business."
So Arthur still has his like homeless cloak on, so I think he's going to try to completely deceive this guard and just like start like shivering and shaking, like as he's accosted, and no money, no money at all. I don't have any money.
He levels his gun at you and says,
"In that case, leave at the grounds. We have no use for you here." He shoos you away.
Okay, Arthur kind of like galloping, like hunchback gallops like out of the grounds, and then like as soon as he's outside, the guard like straightens up again and is just like, "All right, well, fuck." So I guess it's gonna be hard to like get a better view without just busting in.
Okay.
Well, we could. So Arthur's kind of just like thinking, like, well, if we knew that there's going to be a bunch of witches in there, we could just set the whole building on fire. But who knows if that would work. And Giuseppe would probably hate that anyway. So I guess if he can't like look in the palace windows, then I think he's just going to wait a long time during this day. I think he's just going to stake out the palace and see if he sees any witches going in or out for, like, they can tell. Like, I think he's going to, like, stay well past sunset.
All right, we will leave what you observe to the time skip. Okay. Q?
Okay.
Who would you like to recruit for your second noble?
Okay, Giuseppe?
Yes.
All right. Do you have anyone who is on your side who you know would be sympathetic to you and your family?
I'm not too sure, but my father had the best friend, the Merchant of the Wine, whose name is in the 7th Sea canon book. Give me one a second.
Okay, so it's called the Felici. Falisci. Giuseppe says,
Donello Felici controls the most fertile crops, the best vineyards, makes the greatest wine. Honestly, before the success and crisis of Marcello and my father Vivaldi, he was one of the three most powerful merchant princes, along with Villanova and Bernoulli.
And do you think he would be likely to support your bid for the throne?
I think we've got one way to find out, but I believe that if he is not, I am likely to be able to convince him.
Well, then, I guess that is our next target.
Well, let's be off then. And so, you and Giuseppe walk deeper into the... which is Giuseppe's lead into the land of Laurentia to recruit the final piece of your plan to take the city back. And that is where we're going to end the session.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.